Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's not a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for us to hang out together, have a drink together, talk about whatever we want to talk about. Yes, we're going to talk about dirty tap rooms, or theoretically dirty tap rooms, or dirty tap rooms that we only want to admit are dirty when it's places we don't like, or when it's places we have some kind of an axe to grind. I don't actually know. I know nothing about how any of this works, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about. We're also going to drink, because like any good happy hour, that's what you do. Now, I usually or always preface this with, you don't have to open up something alcoholic. That's fine. I get it. It's Monday night. It is, what time is it? It's 10 till 10. Look, if you got to get up early and go to work in the morning and you don't want to have a beer with us, we'll understand. I think you should. I definitely think you should have a beer at least, or some kind of a drink. But if you don't, it's all right. We will we'll forgive you. This show, just as a reminder to all of you, is brought to you by people just like you. This show only exists because of the Gnomies. That is the people that support on Patreon. If you want to become a Gnomie, and you should become a Gnomie because it helps this whole thing exist, like I said, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and support that way. As you do open up your drink for tonight or your drinks for the night, please tell us what it is you're drinking. Marco's having a psychopathy. That is, I believe, an IPA. I think that is an IPA. Josh is having Columbus Brewing Nug Wizard, a 5-hop experimental IPA. Julia is drinking an entire bottle of Prosecco. All right, that's fine. Look, you got to celebrate somehow. Alex is having a cream ale. Chris is having an Axis Mundi. Good choice. I assume coffee, vanilla, Axis Mundi. I have not stocked any of that up here in my beer fridge or my cellar yet. I will, though. And I did try it the last time I was at Mad Tree. And I have to say, I think it's tasting better than it has ever tasted before. So I'm kind of actually really looking forward to putting it here in the fridge. Forget the cellar. I want it here in the fridge where I can drink it. I'm going to open something. Actually, I'm going to open a whole bunch of stuff. I have a whole, like a big tower of beer sitting here staring at me. But first, we got to do this funny little thing we do called the schnappening, which needs some kind of theme music, and it doesn't have any. That's okay. It's time for the schnappening. I'm sitting here trying to see what time it is on my iPad, and I forgot that I put it right here. There's a little thing called a Stream Deck, which has little buttons. That's how I switch between different camera angles, not camera angles, how I switch between different videos and put the graphics up and all that stuff. I use the Stream Deck, and one of my little buttons on the Stream Deck is a little clock, and I forgot that I put it there, but it's a nice little handy clock. I wonder what else I have on here that I don't remember. Okay. Don't know what that is. Not going to push it, though. I think that might be... Oh, these might be lights, but I'm not going to hit those because it's not set. It'll just mess everything up. There's all kinds of fun buttons. All right, let's drink some schnapps. You guys know where I'm going with this. I've been drinking it every week for the last several weeks because I love it so much. Bekarovka. This is a Czech herbal liqueur, not technically a schnapps, but on this schnow, it is a schnapps. I can already smell it. My tasting notes have been grandpa, I think is what I call this. It smells like a grandpa. Julia says, I'm turning the upstairs light to rave mode. I hope not. Then the dog will start barking. You'll know if that's what happened. Yeah, this just, it smells like some kind of aftershave. And I say that in a very kind way. It smells good. I love it. Chris says, yes, it is the coffee vanilla Axis Mundi. And he has also confirmed that Psychopathy is an IPA. I haven't had a psychopathy in a while. I probably need to drink some psychopathy soon. I've been wanting to kind of get back to some of the classics, I think. Some of the beers that are around that are core beers that I haven't had for a while, or that maybe I neglect more than I probably should. I've been really wanting to, and I think that psychopathy would be a good one to do that with. All right, Prost, cheers to aftershave. Yeah, that's great. After a incredibly mediocre Super Bowl yesterday, something tasty is exactly what I need. And hopefully, that's just the start of tastiness, because I've got five other things that I'm going to try. I had plans to work these into a longer YouTube video, and the more I keep thinking about it, the more I'm like, man, that the video is just isn't something that I would want to exist by itself. But if I work it into a different conversation, then it might be a little more exciting for me. I don't know. We'll see. We are going to talk about some dirty tap rooms, which we can, I guess we can get into that now while we're sipping some schnapps before we get into the beer. Whoops, that's the wrong one. We want this one. I will figure this out one of these days. And just as a reminder, I know you saw it probably at the top of the show. The Drunk Line is open tonight, I believe. I believe it's open. 567-70-DRINK if you want to call in. That's 567-703-7465. And you can, you can call. Let's see. Is your tap room too dirty or not? We talked about this. It was the fall of 2024, I believe, was when the first kind of big article was written about the cleanliness of your local tap room. I can't remember off the top of my head what the actual article was titled, but it was something along those lines, something that was very click-worthy, I guess. It was an article written by Dan Monk from WCPO, maybe? I don't know. I might be making that up. Where he's from, it doesn't matter. Who wrote it doesn't matter. But the idea of this was that there are several tap rooms. This is, again, back in 2024. There are several tap rooms in town that are just so disgusting that it raises the question of if anybody who's actually hanging out there understands how messy these places are and how unhygienic and how gross these tap rooms are. It was a very interesting article, and one that people still talk about. When people still bring up breweries that were talked about in that article, especially the one that was kind of featured the most, and that was March 1st over in Blue Ash, when they come up online, especially on some websites over others, people always go back to that and say that it's dirty. Those people, they're dirty. That is a dirty tap room. The kitchen's gross. If you go there, you're going to get sick. I still hear people talk about it because of that article. Which, the first question is, number one, is this true? Is this idea that people still have, is it a factual statement that this tap room is dirtier than other tap rooms in town? Hold that question in the back of your head, because also in that same article, they talked about several other tap rooms around town that also had some violations. In fact, I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like 12 violations between four tap rooms that they were mentioning, something like that. And I don't want to make light of any kind of dirty kitchen violation, any kind of health inspection violation that happens, critical or non-critical, something that has been fixed or not been fixed. I don't want to make light of any of that. I need to make that clear. However, I think that some of it was blown out of proportion, especially in that article. I also think that that article specifically was not taking into consideration that it's not just these couple businesses that were made an example of that were dirty. I bring all of this up. Let me drink some more of my schnapps here, because I really do want to get into this beer. Oh, yeah. That doesn't taste dirty. I bring all of this up because there was a recent... how can I word this? There was a health inspection report that was done over at Madry Parks and Rec over in Blue Ash. And they had some issues. Now, what was really interesting about this was that Fox 19, in theory, wrote an article about it. That article, within 12 hours or so, just disappeared from their website and from anywhere you could go to read it. However, as we all know on the internet, there is traces of everything left behind, and those traces were eventually picked up by people on Reddit, and they started talking about not only how dirty Parks and Rec is, there was also a lot of people throwing some jabs at Madry Oakley, and then again, people deciding to throw jabs at March 1st and how they're dirty too. And it kind of gets under my skin, and I've been trying over the last several days, trying to understand why it all gets under my skin. And I think it starts going back to 2024, why that one did. Let me open up a beer, and then I'll pull out some actual numbers here. Okay, today we're drinking Taiwan beer. I even ordered a special Taiwan beer glass to be completely appropriate with my drinking. Here he is, my little Taiwan beer glass. This is how you'll see a lot of people in Taiwan consuming their beer, out of these little cups, just sitting there and just drinking lots of little tiny beers all night long. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to drink lots of them. All right, I have... I got to pull notes on this, too. I don't remember what any of these are. We have Classic Gold. Okay, so I'm going to say that this one here is probably... I know this one's Classic. This one is Gold. No, this is Song. This is Gold. Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to start with Classic. Taiwan Beer Classic. This, if you can even see it, Taiwan Beer Classic. This is a lager, I believe. This is it says, brewed with carefully selected excellent malt, hops, and some kind of rice. What kind of rice is that? Ponlai rice? I don't know what that is. It doesn't tell me a whole lot else other than that. Neither do my notes, other than it's 4.5%. Taiwan Beer is the largest brewery in Taiwan. It's been around for a very long time. And is nationalized, so the government owns the brewery, which is, I guess, strange for us to think about here, but not that strange over there. Eric says that it's kind of like Kölsch service, exactly. Like it's kind of the same idea. This is light and yellow, and fizzy. Shocker. It's a rice lager. It's going to be light and crispy. Julia wants to know if I ordered enough of those glasses for all of us. No, nor do I have enough beer for all of you. You have to find your own. The brewery was founded in 1919 during a period of Japanese rule. It was nationalized in 1933. That's whatever. They became the Republic of China. Not the people's, just as this is the Republic of China, Taiwan, very different thing than actual China, in 1945. In 1946, they rebranded as Taiwan Beer. And that's pretty much all that you need to know. Usually when people are hanging out in Taiwan, and I say all this, not actually ever going to Taiwan. However, I have watched Three Sheets to Taipei, which is where Zane Lamprey goes to Taiwan to drink. And he did drink Taiwan beer. I don't think he had this one. I think he had the gold. No, maybe he had this one. I don't know. This smells like a classic kind of like a rice lager. No shocker there. Actually, I think this is going to be great. Let me try it. Yeah. Now I could crush that all day long, or all night long, which I will be. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. If I'm like hanging out and just crushing beers, like this is the exact kind of beer that I would like to crush. Like it's got, it's light and super drinkable, but it still is like surprisingly full flavored for what I assume is a very cheap beer, considering that this is, you know, the most widely drank beer in Taiwan and people are just going and hanging out and crushing them. I assume it's a cheap beer. I assume that, in my head, it's supposed to be something like Natty Light, and it's better than that. So, I like it. I straight up love that. Maybe it's just because it's my first beer of the day. That never hurts. Okay, let me get my numbers here back from our health inspections. All right, we're going to March 1st. Okay. This my original research into this article, which the article was written back in 2024, like I mentioned, and I kind of started digging back a little bit to see kind of how their health inspection issues, where they all stemmed from, and it all went back to 2023. When they got their first complaint. And this complaint was because somebody, and I don't know who, and I don't know kind of the origins of it, obviously, but the health department got a complaint from somebody that there was a dog locked in the office and that this was normal. Let me pull up the complaint, actually. The inspection was prompted by a complaint stating, stopped by for a quick drink and noticed a dog locked in their office/storage area. I cannot imagine why a dog would be kept in a restaurant, but apparently it's one of the bartender's dog, and she does this frequently. Seems like this is not only cruel to the dog, but would be against health code to keep a dog inside where food items could be stored. And then the inspection came out, did not observe any dogs in the facility, reminded manager about not having dogs in the kitchen, yada, yada, yada. So, that was a very quick inspection. However, it then started spawning other inspections and additional complaints. And that's where this all came from, was people just kept calling and complaining. The next one, just a couple months after that, somebody called and complained. And the complaint was about cooking procedures for chicken sandwiches. It involved pre-cooked ingredients and heating the mayo, which would cause discoloration. On this visit, they did not find any cooking procedures for the chicken sandwich. However, they did discover that they had some cooler issues, and they had lots of food temperature control issues. Let's put it that way, both on the hot side and the cold side. Things that were supposed to be hot weren't. Things that were supposed to be cooled down quickly weren't. And that then got the ball rolling. And over the next period of 12 months, it was a string of inspections. There was another complaint that next year that was a complaint of expired food and food out of temperature. The only way that I anticipate that somebody can be complaining about expired food and food being kept out of temperature as if this is an employee or a former employee that is calling and complaining. They came out to inspect, and there was expired food in the walk-in, including a sour cream container that was bloated because it was very old. Food in the cooler was at 43 degrees. In the reach-in, it was at 63 degrees, which, if anybody knows food safety issues, that's definitely warmer than it's supposed to be. It should be at 41. Food was not marked with dates. Lots of food issues. This continues, they keep getting hit with a lot of the same problems over the next month. That's when the article is written. By September, all of these violations have been cleared up, and things have been relatively fine since then. They did get dinged last year because somebody didn't wash their hands before putting on their gloves, and then some improper reheating of food. So the end of last year, also, they got hit with two for improper reheating of food again, and then again, food not being held at proper cold temperature. The cooler was between 45 and 50 degrees, which again is not as cold as it's supposed to be. But relatively speaking, they got the very chaotic critical things fixed. But I bring all of this up not to crap on March 1st, because I think that's way too easy to do right now in today's craft beer world. Everybody likes to crap on March 1st, and I don't need to take the easy road out. I bring this up because at the same time that all of that was happening, I don't even want to actually mention the name of this brewery, because they are no longer a brewery. At the exact same time, they are... I don't want to go into too many details, because I don't want to give them away. Because I don't think it's fair to be crapping on somebody for some violations that they had 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago at this point. Eric says, didn't they have a big overhaul of their food program a couple years ago? Yes, right at this time. And management changed, and lots of things changed. But at the same time that the news, and I will use news in quotes for this because this is the issue that I have, they're writing this article about how dirty tap rooms are, and how these health inspection violations, and how horrible it is, and how aware people need to be of this. And they're talking specifically about brewery tap rooms, which, number one, is kind of crappy, because there are plenty of restaurants that had way more violations than this tap room does. Why are we singling out craft beer as this thing, like calling out, you know, health violations as the problem with craft beer? Number one, that's I don't like that. But then at the same time, in another, not even an... Again, I don't want to give too much away. I gotta sneeze. In a very, very close part of town, there is another brewery that is going through lots of problems of their own. And they, I've got a little bit of a cold. And so I'm going to be sneezing and wiping my nose and all kinds of gross stuff all episode. At the same time, you've got this going on at March 1st that people are calling out and raising all kinds of hell about. In a very close tap room at that time, a brewery, you have more health violations than I've seen before, during, or since that time in a brewery. There were at one time 8 critical violations, not 8 violations total, 8 critical violations and multiple non-critical ones. And these are like serious violations. Like Let's see. No hand washing sink. They couldn't get to the hand washing sink. No, it was off. It just didn't work. The sink was not functional. Let's see. Raw fish was being stored over top of the pickles. Raw chicken was being stored over top of ground beef. There was incorrect temperature on the dishwasher for this chlorine, which is a very common thing that people get dinged for. Chili that was made the day before was hanging out at 50 degrees, which is, if anybody can do math, way too warm for you to be hanging out for a day. let's see. Cold food being stored at 48 and 65 degrees. Okay. Vapor emitters, that's also pretty common that people are using those where they shouldn't be. Fruit flies in the kitchen, in a brewery, that again doesn't shock me. That's not that crazy. More dishwasher problems. Just a whole list of violations that not only did the news not even mention, even me mentioning it now, or I could go onto any website and I could write a big article. And I did write an article, and I didn't call these people out at that time because I didn't think it was fair. They were already going through their own issues at that time, and that's not what I needed to do. Even with all of this, if I was going to, there is still this huge, huge group of people that wouldn't care. They wouldn't. It wouldn't change the hatred they have for certain places. It wouldn't change why they call certain people out when they do, or how they call them out when they do. And I think that's the biggest issue that I've got here, is that, like, there are places that all of us really love, and there are places that all of us really dislike, and those places are different for everybody. And if we don't have some kind of standard that we're keeping for everybody, what does any of this even mean? And why do we care? If it bothers you that one place has food being stored too warm or too cold, or that their dishwasher isn't working the way it should be, or there's a dog hanging out at the bar, if it bothers you at this place, why the heck doesn't it bother you at another one? And I think that's the biggest problem that I've got with all of this, is that there just still are so many people that have these, like, arbitrary things that they use to give themselves a reason to hate somebody or hate a place. I think it's silly. And that's, again, not to defend anybody's health violations, because, look, nobody wants to get sick when they eat. And everybody should be trying not to get people sick when they eat. With that being said, I've eaten in some very, very dirty kitchens and in some conditions that you probably should not be making food. And sometimes I'm okay with it, and I know that that's a crappy thing to say, and you're not supposed to say that out loud, but I, as long as I don't get sick, I don't care. And I know that you can't promise me I won't get sick if you're not abiding by a lot of these health regulations, and I get that. But to me, that's the deciding factor. I don't even know what that, how you're supposed to, like, put some kind of score or some kind of number on that. I don't know. Julia says, well, we're over our place and we're eating in our kitchen. Like, yeah, like, sometimes the way I cook food in my own house is not going to pass health inspection. I'm going to be honest. There was one time, I was hanging out outside and I had these really great steaks, and I dropped a steak right on the patio. You know what I did? I picked it up off of the ground, rinsed it off, and then tossed it right on the grill. And you know what? I didn't care. Didn't care at all. tonight, guess what I did? My boy, he wanted himself some Skyline chili. That's fine, man. I got the can of Skyline out. I heated it up for him, made him some noodles, and we made him some Skyline. And so then I took the leftovers, and I packaged it up, and I put it in the freezer. I didn't wait till it cooled down as much as I should. That's definitely unsafe. That is a bad practice. I did it, and I would do it again. And I don't care what that makes you think about me. Gambe, I think is what we say in Taiwan. Gambe. Mm. All right, we tried the classic. Let's try the gold. If the classic is good, the gold has to be better, right? I don't know. That the math adds up. Let's see what my notes say about this one. I want to hear some of your thoughts too about this, about all of this health inspection stuff. Gold. Okay. My notes are very complete on this. That's it. There's like nothing there. It just says that it is 5% rice lager. It's because I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know. All right. Let's, it does tell me some things on here. It has a distinctive flavor lager beer. Let me open it up here. Distinctive flavor. That could be good or bad. I've had some distinctive flavor lager beers that I didn't like. It is gold medal Taiwan beer. Taiwan beer. Monday selections choice for the grand gold medal. I don't know what that means. That's fine. Oh, this one does have some stuff written on it here on the can. Like there's a whole paragraph here, which is kind of fun. Let's read the paragraph. It says, with a profound and remarkable history since 1919, Taiwan beer has successfully won many gold medals from international award for its world-class quality. Gold medal Taiwan beer is characterized with refreshing, clean, and smooth taste. It is our mission to bring one of the best and distinctive flavored lager beers to people throughout the world who enjoy this universal brew. I do love universal brew. It's 5%. Oh, these are 11-ounce cans. That's fun. They're not even 12. Okay. Universal brew. It looks universal. And by that, I mean it is yellow, fizzy, bubbly beer. Universal. Okay. Eric says objective measures, but also, are they trying? I mean, Rheingeist has dollars to put into quality where tiny bumble nuts brewing may be spread thin and have to prioritize. I'll keep reading the other comments here, but here's the thing that I find interesting. Some of the biggest companies that you think of that you would think have, you know, these teams that are going to make sure that all of the measures are hit are not doing it well. And I don't know if that's because they aren't paying people enough to care or what it is. But, and I have not done nearly enough research and numbers and come up with some kind of spreadsheet or something to prove this fact. But I was actually looking for some examples of some places that had like horrible, horrible scores on recent inspections. And so I started pulling up some dive bars that I know have a food license. And I'll be damned if every single one of them was fantastic. Great scores. And I don't know what that means, and I don't know what kind of statistics I can pull from that, but it's not always the places that you expect to to get a bad score that are going to get a bad score. It's there's something else. There's something about caring about the place that you work that really starts to factor into a lot of these things. Or also what the food program looks like. The more complicated it gets, the more complicated some of those processes have to be. Julia says, I think it's crap that the news never explains how the inspections and violations reports work, what was noticed and immediately fixed. What was an employee's lunch or drink being the unapproved material in the walk-in? Yeah, at the same time, back in 2024, when all this whole thing blew up, one of the violations that was thrown into it was the newly opened Voodoo Brewery over in Westchester, which I've got my own gripes with Voodoo tap rooms, and that's probably a different show for a different day. But one of the things they kept getting pegged for was somebody kept putting their monster drink in the wrong fridge. And it was just the fridge that was closest to wherever that person was working. And they kept putting it on the wrong shelf in the wrong fridge. And they were getting dinged for that over and over again. And it was just a stupid violation. There was one, and I don't even remember which one this was or who got hit with it now, because I've been looking at so many different health inspections. But somebody got dinged for one that was, they saw an employee drinking out of a cup without a lid too close to the food. I can't even, it's going to bother me now trying to remember who it was. It's not important, but that's the kind of stuff that, like, who cares? Who actually cares? If somebody, like, if there's an employee in the kitchen and they're, like, drinking a Monster Energy and, God forbid, they spill it on my burger, number one, just make me another burger. Even if you don't, if there's a little splash of Monster on my burger, I don't actually care as long as it tastes good. I don't care. I don't care at all. I think it's ridiculous. Let's see. Marco says, I have many thoughts and would love to share. They're too much to type. I'll say that I agree with you mostly, but I do also understand the standards that are there to protect everyone. Yes. The degrees of this topic are vast, and violations don't mean that everyone will get sick or have any issues at all. Yeah, and at the end of the day, here's the biggest thing. I don't want a restaurant to make people sick. And if a restaurant makes people sick, they should be held accountable for that, 100%. Or if they're doing things that will make people sick, they should be held accountable for that. With that being, and that's why all of these things are in place, and that's why they exist, and I get that. But just because you have a can of Monster sitting on a shelf that it shouldn't be doesn't mean that people are going to get sick. There's definitely a gray area in the middle between here's what the rules are, here is what is incredibly safe. In the middle of that, there's wiggle room, and that's fine. Ryan says, health violations aside, I went to both Cartridge and Wooden Cask this weekend, and it made me wonder, what local breweries have food that stacks up with their beer? Besides those two, I thought about Mad Tree, Alexander, and Third Eye. Who else? There is a lot of great food and great beer in the city. I mean, Nine Giants, an easy one. They're making great food, great beer. High Grain's making great food, great beer. Wandering Monsters, great food, great beer. The list goes on and on and on. What breweries are making bad food to go with their beer, I think, is an easier list to kind of put together. Not one that I'm going to put together, but the quality of food has so far grown in the Cincinnati beer industry that I almost think that it's gotten too good. I got to sneeze again. I told you I'd be doing this all night. Warped Wing's a good one. I guess I should mute the microphone so you don't have to hear me blow my nose every couple minutes. There are so many, but when I say that it's gotten too good, there aren't a lot of like good, like cheap places to go get like, and I'm not asking for bad food, but I'm looking for like cheap bar food at a brewery. And that has become a more rare thing that you can find. Like there might be one or two things on the menu that are affordable bar food ish things. I wish there was more of that. I think that's the more interesting conversation for me. Julius, we're talking about Narrow Path. Taco truck at Narrow Path is great. Glendale House is great pizza. There's a lot of good pizza. I know Cartridge was already mentioned, and I know they're not locally owned, but I've got to shout out their pizza. That Detroit-style pizza is so freaking good. I love it. If I can ever get my great pizza rundown in Cincinnati breweries done, it is in process, but it's going to take a long time. I cannot wait to figure that one out. But I can already tell you right now, Cartridge is pretty high up on that list because I think their pizza is amazing. Ryan says, you can't do the simple things like not having drinks where you shouldn't or not washing your hands when the inspector is present, demonstrates a lack of training. Yeah. But even that. Okay, so one of the things is washing your hands before you put on gloves. Look, if you just wash your hands and you put on gloves and you're making something that is hitting a grill, and then you are going to immediately be moving to a different task, I actually don't care. I don't care at all. There's gray area to all of these things. I'm trying to catch. So the way this, I know that you guys are commenting to each other, and that makes it confusing. Julia, better than Fig Leaf and Mad Tree, or even West Side. Today is National Pizza Day. Yeah, okay. It's been a while since I've had Fig Leaf's pizza. Glendale House is really good. Yeah, I think Glendale House is better than Fig Leaf and Mad Tree. I've never had West Side's pizza. I've had Catch a Fire pizza over the years, but I've never had the pizza since they've been in West Side. I don't know what that says about me, but pizza is not usually my go-to when I'm going out to a brewery because I'm usually not with like a couple people. It's usually just me. And Julie says Gilligan's, great one, yeah. Rob says he didn't wash when the inspector was there is the problem. How do you not know? I mean, like, there are things that, like, again, it's employees caring or not caring. And I think that is definitely a sign of something. But I don't know that framing it as tap rooms being dirtier than other restaurants is a fair way to go, if that makes sense. Sorry, Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News. I moved your chat over here and I missed a couple things here. Let's see. All right, we're talking about when I dropped my steak. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says that's your home. 5-second rule. Different than in a restaurant, somebody drops my steak and throws it back on the grill. I'm never setting foot in that place again. Different standard. I don't know. I think it depends on how much I'm spending on the steak. I don't want people to drop my steak, but if you do, like, I don't actually know that I care all that much. Sean says, I ended up getting my level 2 ServSafe certification. It was a proctored exam and I actually had to study for it. So many things could go wrong in a kitchen. and get you on the naughty list. 100%. But there's definitely some gray area of things that... Julia says, restaurants drop your steak all the time. You just don't know about it. And they definitely don't do it when the health inspector is there. You can have hair nets, gloves, thermometers, all the things. And if the employees don't use them, that's still on you and the kitchen manager. Yeah, definitely, 100%. I still haven't tried this beer. Mmm. That's good. That's a good universal beer. That's what they called it, right? Universal brew. That's good universal brew. But it's not better than the classic. I like that kind of crispy finish to the classic. I'm going to need to do a shot of Malort or something to clear out the sinuses here. Here, I'm going to mute you so I can blow my nose again. I'm going to not be rude. I'm joking. Let's see. Marco says a critical violation is also garnishing a glass without putting gloves on or using tongs. I don't care if bare hand is yeah. So that's a great example. So if somebody grabs a garnish with clean hands. Out of a thing and throws it on my cocktail, I don't care. If I'm seeing somebody and they've been handling like the inside of my glass or even up here on my glass, sometimes that bothers me a lot. It just depends on other things that the person is doing, how much it looks like they are caring about cleanliness and the situation around them. It's not like a one size fits all thing. And you can't put like some kind of score on that because it just depends. There are some bars that I go into that, I don't even want to drink out of their glassware. Just because of other things that are happening around me and other things that give me red flags. That doesn't mean that all glassware should be banned because it's not, it just depends on other things. And I think that goes for a lot of these other violations in the same way. And look, when you're talking about... you know, raw chicken being handled or being, you know, shrimp, what was it? Seafood, something like that being stored over top of pickles. Yeah. Like okay. I don't want that to happen anywhere. I don't want that to happen there. That's my line. But that's on paper the exact same violation as somebody that, as Marco said, garnished a glass without putting on gloves, which I don't care. Ooh. All right, gold is good, but classic is better. This is the one that I'm actually probably looking forward to the most. This is, I think it's called Song. It doesn't tell me a lot on here that I can really understand. It just says beer. And then more importantly, under it, it says that it is Taiwan beer, double hops. Double the hops in the lager. Double is always better. 3.5%. That's... nice and drinkable. I've got ingredients, and it says barley malt, rice, hops. There is no water. It's just barley malt, rice, hops, no yeast. Barley malt, rice, hops. That's it. 11 ounces. Cool. This is going to be thick without any water. Double the hops. Oh, yeah, it says on the, I see it now, right above that. It does say song. Song beer. All right. No surprise. This is fizzy yellow beer. All right, let's see. It doesn't smell like double the hops. It smells good. Let's see if it tastes like double the hops. Ooh, I do like that. It's not like big hops. It's like earthy hops. it's good. Like maybe a little floral, but yeah, earthy. But still good, refreshing, crispy. Ryan wants to know what percentage more I'm getting. I don't know which one it's double from. Is it double from the classic or double from the gold? I actually, like, perception-wise, it feels pretty on point with the classic. But I think that's just like there's like a crispiness to this one that kind of comes off as hoppy to me. I'm going to say this is definitely from the gold. I think it's closer to like 44% more hops. I don't think it's double. It's like 44, I think. I like it though. I like all of these. The song and the classic though, man. I could crush a lot of these. It makes me want to go to Taiwan and just crush beers with somebody. They have like these restaurants there, and I can't remember what they call them, but they're like kind of like just casual, like inexpensive restaurants. Where people just sit and hang out and eat food and drink and converse. They just hang out and have these big conversations, just eating and drinking together, these big groups of people. It's not like so drinking culture in a lot of Asian cultures is very, or at least historically speaking, excessive. They drink a lot, and it's loud, and excessive is the best way I can think of to put it. And that's not the way it is in Taiwan, and I like that. It's even like less excessive than it is here in Western culture. It's more about the conversation, and I think that's what attracts me so much. They do have, like, in some of the bigger cities like Taipei, there are like some fun kind of drinking things happening. There's a lot of like speakeasies and like some Japanese style izakayas and stuff would be fun to kind of go and hang out and experience. But yeah, I want to go and just crush a bunch of Taiwan beer with people sitting in a restaurant. I'm ordering classic all night though. There was one place on that Three Sheets episode, which has been it's an old episode at this point. It's been out forever. And he went to this restaurant with a bunch of guys, And I can't remember what the actual name of the restaurant was, because it didn't have anything to do with any of the actual, like, idea. I should probably, you know what? I can probably tell you. I bet that's in my notes somewhere. Let's see. Taiwan beer. Three sheets to Taipei. Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah. I can tell you all about the entire episode. So first, he goes to this place called Snake Alley. And he is Zane Lamprey. If anybody doesn't know, I am a huge, huge Zane Lamprey fan. Every single time that I record a podcast, there is some reference to Zane Lamprey in the episode. Sometimes I'm wearing an article of clothing that has a little monkey on it. Sometimes I got a monkey on the hat. Sometimes here in the studio, like right now, I'm not wearing any Zane Lamprey clothes. So back here in the back, like you can't even see him, but he's right here. Here's Pleblius. He's just been hanging out there in the back because he's always there if I'm not wearing Zane Lamprey clothing, apparel. Here, let's get him up here. He can just hang out on the microphone now. So I'm a huge fan of what Zane has done. And this was his first show. It was called Three Sheets. He went to this place called Snake Alley. And they drank this Taiwan booze that I would love to get my hands on. It's called Cao Liang, and they drank that later too. But this was all infused with parts of snakes, and it was supposedly healthy. The first one was infused with snake blood, which is an aphrodisiac. There was one with snake poison, which I'm guessing is like the venom of, I don't know, not venom. I guess it is poison. I don't know how that works. I'm not a scientist. That was supposedly for your skin or something. And then there was one that was infused with snake bile that, was good for your eyes or something. I don't want to drink that. It sounds horrible. And then there was a snake wine that was infused with, okay. It was infused with snake testicles and snake penises in a big jug of wine. I don't need that. Okay, here was, oh no, this wasn't even the one. They went to a place called the Seafood Restaurants, and that's where they were hanging out with the locals and drinking Taiwan beer. My notes are perfect for this. Look at this. It says, look at this. I'm looking at it. They use small 5-ounce glasses. Ah, look at that. Just like me. And they keep drinking them all night. And he tries some betel nuts, more Cao Liang, which is 116 proof, if you were not aware. And then they go to this place that was actually called the Indian Beer House. But they called it, for some reason, the locals call it the Dinosaur Bar. And you go and you sit at the bar and you order these little wooden mini kegs of Taiwan beer. And they just bring out these little kegs and your little glasses and you just sit there, just pouring them right out of the keg and just sitting there and just everybody just drinks it until it's gone. And then you get another one. I can do it again. I love it. Ryan says, my brain can't handle the idea of snakes having penises and testicles right now. Just wait until you see what goes on with snakes and their mating rituals. The penis itself, okay, the end of it has these little barbs on it. So when things happen, there's these barbs that like latch on and you can't disconnect. It doesn't stop until everything is done. So even if like either one of you is like, I don't want this anymore, it doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do until it's done. It's crazy stuff. And so they they have this jug of snake wine, and they're just kind of all floating around in there, and they put chopsticks in and pull it out, and yeah, it's disgusting. Disgusting what happens. Ryan wants to know, wouldn't there be a lot of chafing while slithering? I think that it's kind of like it's not there until you need it. Marcus says like cats or like ducks with the corkscrew. Oh. All right, song is good. Let's move on. Now I can't see bleepers is in my way. All right, my next two are fruity. I have Taiwan beer mango or, okay, Taiwan beer sweet touch grapefruit. Fruit. It's that's grapefruit fruit. I you tell me which one I do first. My first instinct is save the sweet touch to last. I don't know why. But I think that it's also going to be kind of lighter flavor, which means I probably should do this one first, or I mean this one first. I don't know. I don't know how to go. Julia says sweet touch first. Okay. All right, sweet touch me. Sweet touch grapefruit. Again, 3.5%. These are all like super crushable. Makes you burp, but that's about it. All right, let's get into this thing. Whoops. There we go. Sweet Touch. I think there are other flavors of Sweet Touch. I just have not seen them in stores. Don't actually see these very often in stores either. Shout out to Jungle Gems. A little bit hazy on this one versus the others. I'm assuming because that's there's probably some actual grapefruit going on. Oh yeah. Ooh. Okay, I was expecting. I don't Sweet Touch. I think. I don't know if it like it makes me think it's gonna be like just a gentle little kiss of grapefruit, but no, this is like straight up like this is a grapefruit beer. It just kind of smells like watered down grapefruit juice. Eric is saying finish with grapefruit. Yeah, too late now. Ryan says, just to come full circle, pretty sure snake penises would also be a health violation. Marco points out that not in Taiwan or Middletown. You know what? Like, I don't want to consume a booze that has snake penises that have been infused in it, but I do want to be somewhere where that is an option. Like that, I want that to be an option in my life. Okay. Why is it so sweet? It smells like straight grapefruit, but it doesn't have like that bitterness that I love about grapefruit. It's like really sweet grapefruit, like grapefruit candy. That's a weird beer. I don't love that. I mean, I would consume it, but it's weird. It's just not what it should be. Okay. That's fine. Maybe we'll get back to that and crush that later. Ryan says it's sweet because of the touch. Gotcha. Mango. Taiwan beer, mango. I mean, these guys gotta be like really, really dominating things. If they're already like the biggest brewery just on the back of like the classic and the gold and things like that, and they've got like these fruity options too, which is gonna get to all of those people that really aren't beer drinkers. And then I guess like you've got Song with the double the hops. Maybe that's for all those craft people in Taiwan. I don't know. Are there craft breweries in Taiwan? There have to be at least like one, right? This is mango. Again, way more clear. I wonder if this actually has mangoes in it. Let's see if it tells me anything. Okay, I've got some. Oh, this is their fruit series. It has like a whole. I don't know. They got a whole line of these, I guess. Right here. The fruit series. And then it also says on here, it's brewed with Taiwan tropical fruits. Oh, this is only 2.8%. Whoa. The fusion of lager beer and rich fruit fragrance. Brand new choice of beer. I love the way they describe these. This is a brand new choice of beer for me. That is not a lie. Oh, man. Natural and fresh. Quality and tasty. Like that's like on like the seal here for the brewery. Natural and fresh, quality and tasty. I need a t-shirt that says that. Freshly brewed Taiwan beer, mango. Isn't everything freshly brewed when it's brewed? Not like a that the way it works? It says it's brewed with passion and craftsmanship. Passion and craftsmanship. Okay. I like that. Okay. Here's my description. It says mango fruit. Mango fruit. Malt beverage specialty. I got to do the hand quotes because there's quotes. Let's start again. Mango fruit. Mango fruit. Malt beverage specialty. Malt beverage with natural and artificial flavors. Okay, my ingredients, okay. The plot thickens here because the ingredients to this one definitely start with water. So that other one, the ingredients did not include, which one was that? Gold? No. Song. All right, Song beer, my ingredients are barley, malt, rice, and hops. That's my ingredients for Song beer. My ingredients for mango are water, mango juice, fructose, malt, rice, mango flavor, and hop. One hop. It just says hop. One hop. Why is there water in this one and there's not water in this one? They both taste like they have water in them. Okay. Is there a phone number on here? Nope. Is there an email? Gotta find this out here. Just the importer. I'm going to send them an email, and I'm going to say, man, why... Folks, I guess I don't know if it's a man. Why is there water in one of my beers but not in the other? Also, why only one hop? Can you explain that? Let's see if it's any good. That one hop. Oh, that definitely smells like mangoes. Wow. Ryan says, isn't 2.8% basically an old school near beer? Basically, yeah. That, man, that actually smells like, that smells great. I don't know what that, there's something else to that mango that I'm getting. Oh, let me see if it tastes any good. I kind of like that. Okay. Yeah, I would drink that. Okay, I'm going to rank them. Okay. I need to try them again before I rank. All right, I know where these go. Finish this here. Ooh. Okay. Oh, that's fun. I gotta rinse out the cup here. Oh, thank you, Julia. All right. Let's try the gold again as we rinse our cup. Like, that is a good beer. It's a boring beer, but it's a good beer. Sorry for the sniffling, guys. I'm trying. All right. This is the big question here. Song and classic. Okay. Julia says, save some to cuvée. Oh, I will. It does make me want to sing. All right, classic. These have also kind of warmed up a little bit since they were straight out of the fridge. Okay. All right. I think I've got my ranking. All right. I think. Yeah, I think I'm going to go classic. This is the best song. Gold. Ooh. Mango. Sweet touch grapefruit. I've spoken. Taiwan. Send me your hate mail. If there's anybody from Taiwan listening, please let me know what you think about these beers when they're fresh from the brewery. I don't know how old these are. They have no semblance of any kind of date coding. The bottom of this one just says EDC B3. Don't know what that means. EIP B2. Yeah, none of it makes any sense. DGO B3. Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's cuvée these things and let's get out of here. All right, I'm going to try to get equal amounts. Okay. Okay. It's always so deceptive as you get to the top of the glass because it gets wider too and you don't want too much of these things. Okay. And then our soft touch, our sweet touch, right on top. Okay. Oh, yeah. There we go. Gambe. It smells, ooh, this smells like I am. It's like I'm getting off the plane right in the heart of Taiwan. I'm in Taipei. I'm getting ready for some snake wine and I don't know, whatever else you do in Taiwan. There's got to be some good food. Some good, I don't know. Taiwanese food. What is good Taiwanese food? I don't know. Probably like a. I don't know. Hopefully not snake penises.
Mmm.
That's not bad. That's actually pretty fun. It's not as crispy as it was like with these ones, the ones I liked beforehand. It's also not as cold as it was, but the way the mango and the grapefruit kind of hang out together, yeah, that's pretty good. Thai food. Yes. Pad Thai, that's the only thing I know. yeah, that's actually not bad. I'll drink that happily. Look, I appreciate all of you guys hanging out with me. Sorry about the nasal congestion. It's been just a string of everybody in the house like passing this thing back and forth. We'll get rid of it. It'll be gone soon, hopefully. There is a very strange schedule coming up, and I want you guys to know about it because we don't really have to deal with it this week. Although, well, okay, maybe. So next week we are. I guess I can talk about it. I don't know. Because it's not open to the public. The Ohio Craft Brewers Conference was rescheduled for March. The awards are rescheduled for next week. It's closed to the public. It's just open to breweries that entered or judges or people that were part of the event. I will be up there co-hosting the awards ceremony for that event. In Columbus. It's in the afternoon. There is no reason I shouldn't be back home before the weekly pint. And the reason I'm saying that is there is a 50% chance that I won't be home for the weekly pint. I'm just preparing you guys right now. I think that I'll be back, but I don't know. That after that week, there is a couple weeks. Yeah, there's going to be then two different Mondays where I am out of town. Again, I have no plans not to do the show, and I can't imagine that there isn't a reason that I won't be able to do the show when I'm out of town, because I'm going by myself. I don't have my wife, and I don't have my kids. Which to me means that I'm going to have a very open schedule of ease to make these things happen. But I want you guys to know, because it's going to be the next month worth of shows are going to be very chaotic, as they always are. So stay tuned for that. I don't know what it's going to look like or what it's going to sound like. Do you guys? Okay, I don't know if this is a me problem or okay. I think we're good. Did you guys lose? Are you losing signal, or is this something that's happening here? I'm guessing that that is an issue with actual. Of course. Okay. Well then. I guess it's good time for things to fail on me, because we're wrapping things up. If you guys can still hear me, thank you. I appreciate you. Marco says YouTube feed is okay. Facebook is buffering. My internet looks fine. I'm like right at like a gig up and down. Look, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Sorry the internet is crapping out. I think it's Facebook. I actually think it's a Facebook issue. Right at the end here. Of course. We'll figure it out one of these days. If you want to support this thing, if you want to support any of the stuff that I do, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. If you want to, man, when I burp, it tastes like this weird little grapefruit mango cocktail. It's pretty good. If you want to subscribe to Cincy Drinks Magazine, please do that also, because I am really, really hard at work wrapping things up, getting the first issue finalized before we can send off some test printing and all of that stuff. So get on there and subscribe and support that way too, because that helps a lot. And it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm all stressed now trying to understand. It's got to be Facebook. I personally love you, Facebook. Please don't screw things up more than it already has been. Gombe, thanks for hanging out, everybody. We'll do it again next week and the week after and the week after. It's just going to be weird. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. Also, when I do go out of town in a couple weeks, I promise that I will make some kind of content while I'm out of town. If any of you know where I should go drink in Richmond, Virginia, I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. I'm going to have some time to myself for 2 weeks in Richmond, Virginia. Yes, I know Stone is there. I need more than that. Guar Bar, Guar, like the band, heavy metal band, they've got their own bar there. Yeah, that's on my list. I'm going to try to make some videos, going to try to make a bunch of fun stuff. So, if you know any places, send them my way. Gombe. Oh, that's good. That's actually good. This was a good night of, booze. We'll see you next week. Cheers, everybody. Join the Secret Service. Well, if I did, like, whatever I have joined, I can't tell you. But I know surgery.